If we've been your job search besties and helped you in some way, there's a cool way you can support the show. Shout us a virtual coffee.
As an independent podcast, we couldn't do what we do without your support. Head to buymeacoffee.com/interviewboss.
If you keep us caffeinated, we'll keep the content coming. When you want to book a hotel and there's all the third-party websites, and it's fine to book on booking.com, but sometimes if you go directly to the hotel, it might be cheaper. There's some benefits. Hey everyone, and welcome back to Interview Boss. My name is Emma. I'm a radio journalist who's teamed up with my sister to give you advice, inspiration, and support when you're looking for a new job. Sarah is a HR and recruitment professional, and together we're excited to give you all the tips, tricks, and behind-the-scenes knowledge to help you in your career.
Hey Em, and welcome back our wonderful listeners, no matter where you are in the whole world. It's time for our favourite part of every single episode, and honestly every single day when we get these messages. It's the Shoot Your Shot shout out. We pick someone who's written to us to celebrate you guys, our incredible listeners. You've gone out there, you've shot your shot, you've used our advice, and you've come back to tell us all about it, give us an update. Em, this week, the shout out is for Katie.
Yes, Katie said, thank you so much, Sarah and Emma. I'm so excited to finally be writing in to tell you my success story. I've pictured this moment for months as I've listened to almost every episode of your podcast, some several times, and used your resources to fine-tune my resume, best bits, and career story. It's been the most helpful guidance and support on my job search. Nearly 9 months ago, I was laid off from a job I'd been with for almost 7 years. At one time, I absolutely loved the company and thought I would retire there. I stayed through multiple rounds of layoffs during my last couple of years there and never imagined it would be so hard to find a new role when my time to leave finally came. I embarked on my job search with no idea what I was doing. I live in the US, layoffs were hitting hard, and roles I applied for early on were getting pulled. I got very little results, even with referrals from my network. I floundered around and felt like my career and life might be over. I finally found your podcast after several months of fruitless searching and got to work putting my best self forward. I started getting more interviews and got better at making sure I shared what I wanted to share, even when the interviewer didn't know what to ask for. After more than 300 applications and 22 interviews across 9 months, I'm thrilled to share that I signed a contract for a new role yesterday. I was in final stage interviews with two companies and actually had the choice to turn down the one that wasn't as good a fit for me. My new role doesn't pay as much as the one I was laid off from, but it's a good match skills-wise, the team seems fantastic, and I'll have much better work-life balance, which is more important to me right now. I don't think I would be in this position without your guidance and support. You helped me keep going, gain confidence, and get some momentum during a very challenging time. Your best bits and career story guidance helped me take back some control and steer my own ship again. I cannot thank you enough, and I'll be sharing your podcast with everyone who's on a job search. I hope you know the work you're doing is making a difference, and you've made such a difference in my life when I really needed it. I'll be continuing to listen so I can keep my job searching skills sharp and never be caught unprepared like I was this year again.
Oh, amazing. I want to say, Katie, we do know that we're making a difference. And I don't say that to like brag. I just mean like we don't take that lightly at all, ever.
Like, no, it's such a privilege.
Every single message still feels the same like the first messages that we used to get.
Yeah.
Because if you haven't listened to our very, very first episodes, we didn't used to have a Shoot Your Shot shout out because we just did our episodes. But then people were just proactively sending us, hey, I did this and it helped. And we were like, okay, well, we should maybe start sharing this because this is good feedback for people to go, this somebody else had success with this. You know, hang in there, you can too. So this stuff came from you guys, like this whole shout out kind of concept.
Yeah, I just want to shout out to the stats, more than 300 applications and 22 interviews across 9 months. Now, that might seem like a lot, but for that length of being unemployed, is quite normal. And I feel like people don't know this. They maybe have had 3 interviews, have missed out, and to them it feels like, oh my God, like what's wrong with me? I'm doomed. And in the scheme of it, 3 interviews is not a lot.
No, it's not. And like, we're not saying it should take 22 interviews, but I love when people share the numbers. And if you're, you know, planning to write us your message in the future, if you're listening to this, like, hey, I'm going to be Katie, I'm going to write in when I get the result, throw in your numbers if you know them, even just roughly, like how long did it take? How many months? Like how many applications? Or maybe even just how many interviews?
And that's not to deter you. Like if you're listening in the trenches and thinking, holy shit, I cannot do 22 interviews, it's not to freak you out. It's to make you feel better. It's hopefully validating to know that other people are in the trenches and it can be a time-consuming thing that's just out of your control.
Yeah. And you can go through that and then still have 2 different companies trying to offer you a job. Like it doesn't mean that nobody wants you, that you're then not a valuable candidate at all. Like a lot of this is like luck, numbers, repetition, timing. Like think about all those roles. They hired someone, but they can only hire 1 person. Like we're just dealing with a bit of a math problem here.
Yeah. It still ended with Katie being in the ultimate power move decision and getting to choose the role that was perfect for her. And the final line of she's going to keep listening to keep her skills sharp because she never wants to be caught off guard again. I love that. What a stark reminder that you never know what's around the corner, and not to put people in fight or flight, but it's good to keep in mind that, you know, you don't need interview skills until you desperately need it and your mortgage is piling up and you think your life's over.
Literally, she said, I thought my career and my life was over. I think a good episode for her would be our career security versus job security, because it's easy to think, yep, I've been at this company 7 years, like I know this place, I'm going to stay. That's kind of job security, right? But career security is always having a good understanding of where you sit in the market, whether your skills are valuable to other organizations as well, to other industries, like just having a sense of, if I wasn't doing this, what would I be doing? And being prepared for that scenario.
Thank you so much, Katie. Your message made our day, and enjoy that new job. It sounds amazing. If you want some results like Katie and you need a little bit of help to get there, check out Sarah's one-on-one interview coaching sessions. She's got plenty of availability to help you really nail a niche part of your interview prep that you're struggling with. Maybe it's your tell me about yourself story. Maybe it's, you know, whittling down your best bits or strengthening the impact of them when you tell them. Maybe you just want to go through a little mock interview to get your confidence up and role play being asked questions.
Yep. But if you're at the stage where you get the concept of best bits, but you're like, okay, I need to know what to do with them. I need some help. What do I do from here? I don't want to be researching the company for multiple hours and then I get in the interview and have no idea what to say. Then you need Interview Academy. It's going to take you through step by step all of the concepts that you need. You're going to practice the skills. You're going to break down your stories. You're going to work out which are the best ones. It's all the step-by-step things that you need to take you up until you're walking through that door. And you've got your cheat sheet kind of with you. You've got your notebook set up. We've tackled nerves. It's kind of everything versus just a 1-hour coaching session. So work out which one is right for you. interviewboss.com.au/coaching. And I'll see you there.
And if you loved one of our episodes, think that a tip we gave was an absolute game changer, or want to request an episode specifically on your conundrum or industry, kindly follow us on Instagram, slide into our DMs, and we could dedicate a whole episode to you next time. This week, we're going to talk about tips for applying for jobs, like the actual physical task of uploading it to the void to have your application in.
And this one didn't come from a listener, but it did come from a job seeker. This one came from me.
Did it?
It did.
Do you want to update our listeners?
Yeah. So we are currently recording this episode in person. How exciting. Because I'm visiting from New Zealand, which is where I'm temporarily based. And as much as I love and adore working with all of you wonderful listeners and working on this podcast, I was getting the itch of like missing my HR life a little bit, being this kind of global traveling person. I was like, I would love to do a bit of, you know, contract work, get back into an HR team. I miss some of those company problems. Some people are probably rolling their eyes being like, how could you miss it? Well, I just do, okay?
A girl wants what a girl wants.
I just feel this need to like, anytime I talk to someone who's got a team or something, I'm like, oh, tell me about them. What problems are you having? Like, I want to coach the managers. I want to fix things. I want to help improve stuff. So it all just kind of happened that I was looking for some contract work in Queenstown, and a short-term contract role kind of came up and I applied, and yeah, I'm going to be doing a short-term contract, which is awesome.
How exciting. You're officially entering the job market again. I think we need to do a little mini episode on your job seeking experience, because since you were at your previous company for a fair few years, it's probably been a while since you've been back in the interview saddle.
It really has. Yeah. And it's humbling. Like, it's honestly a good reminder. I was like going through this process, I was like, this is valuable regardless, because it just kind of reminds me what people go through. I think I already had pretty decent empathy for what it was actually like, but it's just, it's always a good reminder.
Yeah.
And look, I'll also say that I'm not always as good at taking my own advice as I am of like giving it.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Right. Because I definitely didn't do everything right. And I find that really weird when I'm in an interview and I'm like, the person interviewing me knows that, like, talk about imposter syndrome, right? Person interviewing me like sees on my resume that I have a podcast that helps people interview.
It's almost like a joke they make, like, oh, well, you better be good at this, hey. And I'm like, yeah.
I make the joke and like, yeah.
So tell me what inspired you to make this episode.
Well, when I was looking for various different HR opportunities and just looking at stuff, I didn't apply for that many things necessarily, because I was pretty, you know, specific on what I needed and what I kind of wanted. But I found myself doing something that I always do and being like, I don't think we've talked about this before. So I thought we would unpack it. And I have seen this advice elsewhere. It's not like it's like really super unique advice. But as always, whenever we do an episode, I always look at like what's out there. What are other people saying about this topic? And far out, it just reminds me every time, there's just so much crappy stuff about why. It's like you almost got the point. People are saying, hey, it's helpful to do this, but their reasons why are just complete BS, made up. Like, they don't really understand what they're saying.
And that is applying directly through a company's website or a platform like, say, Seek.
Yeah, so that's what we're talking about, is applying directly on the company's website, which is what I found myself going to do. As soon as I found a job that I was actually interested in, I'd go straight to the company's website. And I was like, hey, we haven't talked about this. So when you find the job on the job board, I want to walk people through what this actually looks like, the steps that I would kind of take. First, I want you to look at, what does it do when you click apply? Is it just going to get you to apply with your profile for that job board? So is it getting you to apply just with your LinkedIn resume that you've got saved and just fill in a couple of fields and like you don't leave that platform, if that makes sense? Or does it open up a new window and it opens up like some other thing where it's like that company's
portal,
internal application or portal or something like that? So if it opens a new window and you're going into that company's portal, great. You are basically applying directly to their website anyway, right? Then you don't need to worry about this necessarily. But if it doesn't, if it's kind of keeping you on the LinkedIn platform, the Seek platform, the Indeed platform, whatever it is, these job boards are all kind of interchangeable, really, regardless of where you are in the world. This stuff is kind of fundamental. If it's not, I would go to the company website and see if you can find it there. If it's there, I would choose to apply for it there instead of choosing to apply for it wherever I originally found it.
Interesting. It's kind of like when you want to book a hotel and there's all the third-party websites, and it's fine to book on booking.com, but sometimes if you go directly to the hotel, it might be cheaper, it's easier because they've got your direct details for like if there's mix-ups. There's some benefits.
Exactly. That relates so well. And actually, I think maybe a better example on that same note is like airlines. I use all the comparison tools to find flights, but then I'll book directly with the airline once I found that flight that I want. Again, because I don't have to like put in all my details. You know my dietary requirements. You've got my frequent flyer number, all that kind of stuff. And so let me be really, really clear for a disclaimer for this episode. There is nothing wrong with applying through the job board. That's not what we're trying to say here. There is nothing wrong with it. Your application will still make it to where it needs to go. Plenty of people get hired applying that way. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. I'm not trying to tell people go around it. It's a secret hack. It's like you're going to skip the line. There's no magic in this. This isn't like a secret hack. I do it and I want to explain the reasons why. These are very like practical reasons why I do it. And it's not some like secret insider knowledge, but I want you to understand the actual reason so that you can apply that and decide whether it's worth it or not for you. So we're going to break it down. Here's why it helps. The first bit, I think we need to understand the way job boards work. And I need clarification from you, Em. You always tell me, I say, does this make sense too much? And I do. I'm trying to stop saying that. But are you even interested in this behind the scenes stuff? Because I think I go to explaining this so often and I'm like, does it even help?
Not really. I don't give a shit. As long as it's making it. Couldn't really care less what happens.
Don't care on what actually happens on the behind the scenes on the job board. So do I skip this section then? Do we just skip
maybe
this?
Give a real brief summary. Don't go into much detail as you'd planned.
Jeez. That's not what I expected you to say.
I'm just being honest.
Okay. Well, I guess this is what people call the sister banter, which is what they're here for. They tell it like it is. Okay, well, I'll try and keep it brief then. So the way that job boards work is I want you to think about it a bit like being on a social media app. You know how when anyone's got like a link in their bio or whatever, the platform's always trying to keep people inside the platform. Like they don't really like it when people are trying to take you out to somewhere else to fill in a form or whatever. The platforms want to keep you on the platforms. Same thing goes for job boards. They want people to be staying on their platform so that they can get more data that they then use to sell back to people. It's not like it's like some super evil plot. It's just better for their business if people are active on their platform and not leaving to go out to a different website. So they take your info and they send it off to the ATS backend system. Like your information is still ending up in the exact same place, attached to the exact same job, but they don't always let companies link out to the actual application. So when it does that pop up in the separate window, there are some job boards and maybe they have certain contracts and whatever where they won't let a company have that whole new window. Sometimes it actually depends on what system they're using too. If they've got a certain system, they'll let it pop up. But if they've got another system, they're like, we don't allow that system as a pop-up. We're going to have to send the details off manually.
You're losing me.
I know, but I feel like some people are going to understand this and it's going to be really helpful. So their goal is to make it easy for people to apply for jobs, which is great. We love that. We think that is noble. We want to make it easier for job seekers. We don't want you to have to custom do every single application. That would be really annoying. So they're trying to make it simple, but they're also trying to keep you on their platform. So that's the context for what we're about to talk about. Hey, Interview Boss listeners, if the podcast just isn't doing it for you and you need way more help to prep for your next interview, we have the perfect thing for you. Interview Academy. Em, tell us all about it.
This is huge. This is the love child of Sarah after doing hundreds of one-on-one coaching sessions, finding out what people struggle with the most, common mistakes. Sarah has created the ultimate course that you can do in your own time, self-paced, heaps of modules, videos, interactive quizzes, a workbook that will become your Bible by the end that you can take with you into your interview. Because if you're a long-time listener, you know that we endorse taking notes into your interview. It's a game changer.
Check out more about it at interviewboss.com.au/interview academy.
So what on earth is a job board scraper?
So sometimes if you're seeing a job on Indeed, or honestly, a lot of job sites do this. I think LinkedIn have been doing this in the last few years. What they've enabled is job scraping. Essentially, the jobs platform, it's not good for them if they don't have many jobs on there. They want lots of jobs so that people come and look.
You spend hours in there just looking at every type of role.
Because if they're charging a company to put an ad up, they want to be able to tell them, we've got lots of candidates, we've got good candidates. So they then, to attract the candidates, they need lots of different jobs. And if you were building a brand new job ads platform, you didn't have any jobs, how do you ever get candidates? And if you don't have candidates, how do you sell to companies? So what they will do is scrape jobs from different places. So what that kind of means is they're going around the internet finding this is a job on this company's website directly. Company didn't upload it to my platform, but I've found it and I'm going to copy it and put it on my platform. Essentially, they've scraped it up and put it on their platform. So you're seeing it on whatever website. Company never put it there. Again, we're not talking about this is horrible or evil or whatever. It's useful. It helps get your job out. It's not the worst thing in the world. But what it means is sometimes that job might have closed, but the company can't control closing the one that's been scraped. So they normally have like things that go around and check, are these jobs still active or whatever, but it just, there might be a delay. It might be like a couple of days delayed, or maybe something's gone wrong and it hasn't worked out that that job's closed, which is, I think, where people are getting this kind of ghost jobs idea from.
So what would happen if I applied to a job on Seek where they had scraped it, but it was actually closed? Would I just never hear back?
So Seek doesn't scrape. But if you did that for Indeed, you might go through the application and then it might not work at the end because the job's closed. Right. Or you might submit it and it just sends it off into their system, but they're inside their system, the job's closed, nobody's looking anymore because the job's closed. So that can kind of add to that feeling of sending it into a black hole or whatever. Again, I'm not saying that this is always happening, but it does happen. I used to have it happen to me when I was posting jobs and I'd be like, hey, that role's not available anymore, but it's still up there. It's kind of frustrating. So why we want to, in that case, go and check on the actual company website directly, is the job actually still available? Like, super practical, right? Like, have we found it on one of these places that scrape? Can we just go and confirm directly? Is it still posted on their platform that they do absolutely control? Is it still there?
So another great reason that applying directly through the company can be more beneficial is they'll often give way more info. On a job board, they might be much more brief.
Yep. If you've ever seen inside an ad, sometimes they'll say, refer to the criteria or the behaviors that are required for this level here. And you're like, yeah, but it's not a link. Like, where do I click? Like, it's kind of weird. You can't actually click on it. Well, that might be because in their post on their company website, you can click because maybe that enables that feature. But on this place that you found it, the link is not there. So sometimes if you go direct to the company website, regardless of where you apply, like all this advice is kind of like, some of it doesn't even matter where you apply. You can just go there and get the info and then apply where you found it anyway. We're just giving you all this info so that you are aware. Occasionally, you will find that like the PDF of the position description is actually attached when you look at the one that's on their company website. It'll be attached down the bottom as a link. This happens like a bit. For this job that I applied for, I was able to view the PDF job description, which is a lot more formal than just the ad, right?
And like, if I'm applying for a job, I want access to the position description. You can get a way better vibe. You can tailor your words, make sure you're addressing the exact dot points. That's one way to, you know, make them squeal with excitement.
Yeah.
So yeah, you don't want to be missing that.
That's right. And it's just another reason that maybe you could go out and check out, you know, the ad directly.
What about sometimes I've seen jobs be posted on Seek and I go hunting for the original location and it's not there.
Yeah. So you won't always find it. And Em keeps saying Seek, just for anyone international, Seek is like literally only a thing in Australia and New Zealand. And they just have a bit of a...
They're a monopoly. No one really uses anything but Seek.
And let's use like LinkedIn as an example, because it's a little bit more global and they have some of these features as well. Sometimes a company doesn't have a careers page or an ability to post jobs directly. They just don't, that's just not something that they do. They don't even hire that much. They don't have an ATS that enables them to have a job board on their website. So their only option is to really put it on the job boards. And sometimes you might find if it's a smaller business or again, it's someone who doesn't have these features, they actually might be managing the applications directly within that platform. If you're like a mid-size kind of local business or something like that, you probably don't even have a system in the back end. And so you're kind of using that job board as your system. And if you're doing that, you're not posting it in multiple locations because you don't want to be logging into multiple places and looking at all the different applications in all the different places. You actually might have that job posted exclusively on whatever that popular one is and only looking at the people in there because it gives you these little tools and ability to message people and whatever else in the back end. So that might be a reason why you find it there and it's not on their website directly.
Another great benefit is that if you go direct, you can often fill out the full profile or application in detail. There might be extra fields that you have the option to fill in when you go direct. Whereas if you're using a job board, like Sarah said earlier, you might only be able to be submitting your like generic profile that just has a bit about you. Whereas if you log in, there might even be questions on there, tailored questions, which obviously gives the recruiter or hiring team more information to work with. You're sharing more about yourself. And sometimes these links can come via email after you apply via the job board, but going in there in the first place is just easier to do it up front.
Yep. And again, this goes back to, I know people get so annoyed with like, don't make me fill in all this stuff. Like, just get it from my resume. And I completely agree with that. I understand that frustration. Like, we don't want a world where there's like a 10-page application for every job that you apply for, because if it's going to take me hundreds of applications to get a role, then why, you know, I'm wasting all this time. So the job boards have somewhat of a noble focus here of trying to make it easier for people and trying to standardize this process. And that's a good thing. They will send your information on. But occasionally what that means is that you skip these other fields that it's really handy for someone to have. And again, I'm not saying you're going to jump the line in the process or whatever. But as an example, one of the jobs that I applied for, I found it on a job board, went to the company page directly, got to see the position description, was like, oh my gosh, great. This gives me more information. Signed up for a profile on their thing, which I know how annoying, like creating a login. I roll my eyes every time. But I've also been the one that's implemented recruitment systems where people have to create a profile because there's benefits of it on the other side. Like, it's hard, but there are benefits of it. So I create a profile, sign in, fill in my information, and it allows me to fill in stuff like, here's my location, here's my salary, I want to get job alerts on these types of jobs when they're posted. It allows me to like just fill in some other stuff in there, which is really valuable. So I know that on the back end, because I know what these things look like, when my profile comes through, there's just more information on it, which just gives them more information. That's all it is. They're still going to get that from my CV, but it's making it easier for the recruiter, for whoever's screening through, and anything that makes it easier potentially makes it more likely that you get an opportunity to be seen.
And it gives you greater control over your application directly. So if you go into the portal and make an account, as annoying as it is, you might be able to actually keep up to date with where things are at in the application process. Portals are good for that. And then forms, if you get the job actually, might come through there.
Or references and stuff. Yeah. Sometimes you might need to submit them through a portal. And look, applying through the job board, there will be some way for you to still get in the portal later. Like, you don't miss out on being able to do that. It's just that occasionally an email will come and they'll go, oh, you don't have a password yet because you came through the job board. So you've got to use this link and create a password because your details are in there, but you don't have access to your profile yet. So you're not missing out on this by doing it, you know, through the job board. Just sometimes it can be handy to have that all up front.
And bonus, you can browse the careers page while you're in there. Maybe you'll see another job that sounds cool that you wouldn't have considered previously.
Totally. And also just other information about what it's like working there. There's often like a, you know, our values, like just more information about the company. It can be helpful. I don't necessarily think that everyone needs to do all of these things every single time. Like, I know that if you are applying for various different jobs, you're like going through all these steps.
Yeah.
You're not going to do this every single time.
Save it for the one you really want.
Yes. And also, I want you to have this information so that you have it, so that you can choose to use it if you want to and only when you want to.
Yeah.
Do we have to do this all the time? No, please don't. Like, you don't need to. If you get the link out, you're going to be doing it anyway. If you want to apply directly via the job board, great. That's perfectly fine. You are not missing out on anything by doing it that way. But maybe you use it when it's a job that you're really interested in, or when it's a company you're really interested in. I think that is something that could maybe push this over the edge for someone going, actually, if I create this profile and I apply for this role through this company directly, I can turn on all the notifications so that I get notified and I have a profile and maybe they'll reach out to me directly if there's another opportunity there. Like, there's some of those extra benefits if it's a company that you really like. The other things to consider, if you came across a job on a job board and maybe it's been a few weeks, like maybe just the time that you saw it, it had already been a few weeks, or if the application didn't link you out to apply on the site. And the very last final thing that I'm going to say is I would prefer that you take the time to do these things than spending extra time fussing with your resume.
Ooh.
Yep. I really think, like, people hate the application questions. They want me to paste my resume in bit by bit. I friggin' hate that too. And I never made the questions for people to apply for jobs that I was in control of long and annoying and, like, you know, a copy and paste of their resume, because it is a bloody waste of time. But I'd prefer that you do that than tailor your resume. Like, follow their annoying process. Here's how I kind of think about it, which is probably different to everyone else. If it's annoying, it'll turn off a lot of people, which means if I do it properly, how many other people have actually done it properly?
Yeah. And arguably, that is going to be quicker to allow 10 minutes to fill in some of their boxes than to be completely tailoring each resume to each job.
Yes, which, if you haven't heard that episode, go and listen to it. I do not recommend that you tailor your resume for every single job you're applying for. If it's a totally different type of job, then yeah, you will need another version of your resume. But I don't think you should be rewriting everything every single time. I don't think the payoff is worth it for you. That's why. Like, would it be helpful? Maybe. But I don't think the time you spend is going to make enough difference for it to be worth it. So I would prefer that you do this kind of stuff instead of fussing with all of that.
And let's not forget, the Humble Resume was created for that reason, to be a one-stop summary of who you are to hand out to everyone. So why the bloody hell do we feel the need to tailor it every single time?
You could also say the same thing about these applications, right? Like, the resume is meant to do that for you. It's just that everybody's trying to get around, like, it doesn't do a great job. Resumes aren't that effective, but there's not really a better alternative. And so it's the best we can do. Everyone has their little systems that they like, and we're just trying to help everyone navigate it.
Until they design some AI goggles that recruiters can put on that scans someone's body composition and analyzes their work traits. But until then, happy applying.
Nah, I don't reckon that's happening. Maybe it'll come, but it won't work because we're humans. And at the end of the day, you're a human working with other humans in the job. AI is not going to work out who's going to be best. I can't see that happening. Thanks so much for listening to Interview Boss. If you like hearing the sound of our voices, follow us on Spotify or Apple or wherever else you happen to be listening to our episode. Or better yet, tell someone else about the show. That's how we can hit the charts and help even more people all around the world from our tiny little corner of the Southern Hemisphere. For more advice, inspiration, behind the scenes, bits and pieces when we post them, check us out on Instagram and chuck us a follow at Interview Boss, or go find me on LinkedIn. I share some helpful stuff and can direct you to other wonderful people who share great content as well. Chuck us a follow on LinkedIn as well. Can you believe we started Interview Boss in 2021?
Not really. It's insane. That's a lot of episodes and a lot of hours of talking.
Oh my gosh, it is. And if you're scrolling through all of our episodes, you might scroll straight past something that you really, really needed.
Yes, we're always getting messages from people asking us to do an episode on something, and I'm like, we already have.
So we've put together playlists to help you find the episodes that are exactly what you need, suited to your situation.
They're all categorized. If you're applying for jobs, we have episodes about resumes, cover letters, job ads. If you've been offered your dream job, we have episodes on resigning, exit interviews, and how to impress at your new company.
And we even have a very special playlist that's very popular for if you have an interview coming up immediately and you need just our most recommended hard-hitting episodes between now and then.
For all our last-minute listeners. It's all there for you. You can browse by category and check out all the playlists at interviewboss.com.au/podcast.